Welcome to the Metcalf FutureLink podcast, where we explore the latest trends, technologies, and ideas shaping the future of the internet and beyond.
Welcome to the Metcalf FutureLink podcast. Today, I have Magnus Rich. He's recognized for his expertise as a market economics and his success as a serial entrepreneur and author. He has made significant contributions to the understanding and accessibility of the art market. And also he teaches art management at Yale University, previously at Columbia University. And also it's about like his entrepreneurship. In 2016, he launched the Magnus app, which works like Shazam for art. It's interesting. And Magnus holds a PhD in economics, and he is also an accomplished author with several books on the art market to his credit, including bestseller such as How to Collect Art, How to Become a Successful Artist, and Management of Art Galleries. His work often focuses on the intersection of art, technology, which is really hot topic in this year again, and business, offering insightful perspective on these interrelated fields. Welcome again, Magnus.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot after this long introduction.
Yes, it's long because you have accomplished various things, and it's a privilege to host you today.
I'm just very passionate about the art market and very passionate about making art more accessible for everyone.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm really excited for you. Congratulations on your new book. It is exciting. So I'm starting with the first question because we will discuss today, insights from you, how to collect art and the role of art galleries and advisors in the digital age. And what is your book's value proposition?
You know, I don't know. Don't buy the book. I'm joking. The book is really a summary of my 20 years of experience in the art world. I'm not from one of these collector families, so I didn't grow up surrounded by art, but I was always interested in it. And when I started my journey 20 years ago, I realized, hey, this art market is weird. This art market is difficult. I don't know what to buy. I'm overwhelmed with works. What separates one gallery from the next? What's the difference between Art Basel and Friese Art Fair? Why do some artists make a lot of money and almost everyone else is not making any money? Why is the art world so exclusive? Why do I need to get VIP tickets? How do I get VIP? So I had all these questions. And over the past 20 years, I really did nothing else than finding answers to these questions in all different roles. So I started off as a young gallerist to finance my studies in the US at Harvard. And then I wrote my PhD on the question of what makes a gallery successful. Because when I was running a gallery, I realized, you know, I'm doing okay, but there are other people who seem to be more successful. So I always wanted to understand what makes a gallery successful. The next step for me was to understand what makes an artist successful. And now, finally, in this book, I wanted to answer the question, what makes an art collector successful? And that is really the essential message that I want to send in this book.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's coming from your childhood. It's coming from your interest. It's coming from your insight, actually, the interest of art. And just I was curious, what is your favorite artist? And you can just tell me, like, it's a couple of artists, and I'm really curious about it.
You know, it always varies. I separate artists into two brackets. One is investment pieces. So there, I like Gerhard Richter. For example, Gerhard Richter is one of the most expensive living artists. So, of course, I like Gerhard Richter. I really like his work. Can I afford it? Not really. You know, it starts at $1 million and more for unique large pieces that I would like to get. Then I like other artists. David Sally, a great artist. Also more an investment piece because he's represented by great galleries and price points are very high and so on. For the more upcoming artists, I like Alvaro Barrington, who is an artist represented by galleries around the world. And he's one of those artists to keep an eye on because I know prices will increase and he's on the right trajectory. So those are all the investment pieces. More expensive, very successful already. And there's everyone else. Artists who I just like, who I see, who are way more affordable, less than $10,000, who I like whenever I see them and then I buy them. And there are plenty of them.
Yeah, there are plenty of them. That's another curiosity. I want to ask, like, which is your favorite art museum in the world and art gallery in the world? And depends on, like, your, I don't know, like, it's billowing. Yeah.
Favorite museum is the Deer Beacon in upstate New York. So I live in New York City. It's roughly 1.5 hours outside of New York when you go north. It's still in the state of New York. And it's a beautiful, large-scale museum that mounts these massive installations. So think about it as a warehouse, but a massive warehouse. So they're able to do these huge, huge artworks, and it's just beautiful. It's also always nice to leave the city and have a reason to leave the city. So I like going up there. And when it comes to galleries, you know, I'm in a very fortunate position that I live in the city that hosts the most galleries. There are 1,500 galleries in New York. So, you know, gallery, just last night, I went to gallery openings in Chelsea. Tonight, I'm going to gallery openings in Tribeca and on the Lower East Side. So last night, I saw 20 galleries. Tonight, I'll see 20, 30 galleries. That is a very fortunate position that I'm in. So it's hard for me to nail down one gallery that I love. I always love gallery owners. You know, I wrote a whole book about art galleries and how to make them financially more successful simply because I have so much respect for the work that they're doing and the love that they put into their work. Even though financially, in most cases, it's not a very profitable business.
Yeah. We will come here. Are you believe, like, does everyone can collect art?
The simple answer is yes. Let me give you some statistics. So 90% of all artworks that are sold today are sold for less than $10,000. So the narrative that art is expensive is wrong. You can buy great art for $100, $200. You know, you start with a poster. It doesn't always need to be an original, but even original pieces you can get for less than $500 directly from artists. On Instagram, you can get them directly on Etsy. You can get them on maybe, you know, editions on platforms like ArtSpace or AvantArt. There's so many platforms where you can get really affordable art. When people come to me and say, hey, Magnus, I really don't have much money. I cannot buy art. I always ask them, hey, do you have $500 to invest? I know you have an expensive handbag. Why don't you just buy, instead of buying a $500 handbag, just buy an original piece of an artist? Why? Because not only can you decorate your home and get emotional value from that, but also you help and support a whole ecosystem, a community, the artist and all his friends, because you instill the belief that the artist can live from his or her practice. And that's what I call responsible buying. I encourage everyone to buy art, not as an investment, but because they're helping a community. It's almost a philanthropic act. So people who are all listening right now, buy more art now. No excuses. And if you're interested in it, reach out to me and I'll help you find something.
Yeah. And I did one time, by the way, invest to art from Etsy. And the artist was named Alex Garant, and she has a unique style. And I discovered on Etsy, and I purchased, I think it's $100 or it's between $200. And I sold it's $1,500. And because she went viral on Instagram, now she has like 150,000 followers. And it was like really, it's accomplishment for me, and I love art and really happy to chat with you today. And we are learning from you, and your books is really interesting and important for the art era and how to collect art. It's super crucial, and also the impact of the, like, in technology and art collection. the role of the art galleries and advisors in this digital age. And I want to highlight that we met with you during the Consensus in Austin, which is biggest Web3 conference. And you came there like about its art side. And how do you see still about in Web3 NFTs in art collection era?
Yeah. So, you know, the last chapter in my new book, How to Collect Art, is dedicated to NFTs. So I interviewed for this book, I interviewed over 200 of the most relevant people in the art world. And that also includes prominent NFT collectors or digital artists like Eric Calderon, Snowfro is in it. Then I did a case study with Pablo Rodriguez Friel, who is the largest patron of digital art in the world. These, the biggest NFT collector, contribute to this book. So a lot of people came to one of my classes to talk to my students and so on. So I'm deeply plugged in the digital space, and I wanted to share this with a larger audience in the last chapter of my book, because I believe that NFTs are here to stay. Now, what does that mean? With NFTs, obviously, we saw a hype around a lot of projects, and most of the hype, almost all of it, is gone. Prices have dropped dramatically and so on. But what really remained is the technology. I really believe that in the future, paintings will not go away. I had a long discussion with people about this, where he said he believes that digital art will take over paintings and the MoMA will only show digital art and so on. I disagree. I really believe that paintings will not go away. They today represent over 90% of the market trading volume. 6% is photography, and the rest is sculpture, performance art, and digital art. So it's a tiny, tiny group of percentage that it represents now, and this won't go up dramatically. It also didn't go up dramatically during the hype, as a side note. However, what will remain is the technology. And what I say is, I believe that in the future, every painting that leaves the studio of an artist will be registered on the blockchain. So the artist, whenever the work is traded, can track, okay, it's traded, and immediately gets royalties and the earn out from this. That's one of the biggest shortcomings in the current art world, that we call it the lack of provenance. So today, when you sell something on Christie's and Sotheby's, they have whole teams dedicated to verify the provenance, meaning the history of the artwork. Who owned it before? What collections was it in? What were the price points and so on? Having a work, a painting registered on the blockchain allows us to track the provenance immediately and visible, immutable for everyone. And that will be the core application and the core outcome of the whole NFT boom. So it's not about the actual medium, but it's about the technology. Now, this will solve a lot of problems in the art world. It will make it more transparent. It will clear up all the issues around provenance. It will make artworks, make the authentication easier, and so on. Now, this is not going to happen tomorrow. Everything in the art world takes forever. They just discovered the internet during COVID that they can actually sell online. Surprise, surprise. So other industries will go first. I think other luxury industries like watches, cars, and so on will come first. And then the art world will come second. I'm thinking here about 10, 15 years when it will be implemented.
Yeah, it will be quite interesting, a new year for Web3 industry, actually. And we will see and we will follow, like as always. And your experience as in like art market economist, right? And your book has the one section, why most art is not a good investment. So mostly like, it's, you know, we are living in like over-marketing age. And I like that headline as a title. You are not talking about why most art is a good investment and you're trying to like make a noise there and yeah, buy my book and buy art and this economy will grow and maybe I will sell more books, right? But you are talking about why most art is not a good investment. It's so important. And so why you pick that and why you want to also tell to people with honesty? And
yeah,
I think your What value propositions that really can be that title. I love that.
Well, thank you. My book is, I'm an economist, so I look at data. I don't like all the words and the historical anecdotes around art. I really try to give a very rational, data-proven approach to buying art.
Yeah.
So that means cutting out all the fuss and all the bullshit around buying art. And part of that is art is a great investment. Well, when you look at the data and not just read the headlines, art is not a good investment. 99.999% of all art that you see today is not a good investment. You will not see your money again. You buy something today for 20,000, you'll not get 10,000, you'll not get 5, you'll not get 1,000 tomorrow. You get nothing because nobody is buying that piece. Almost all art has no resale value. So that's something that the media is not really reporting because it doesn't attract headlines. But when you look at the data, and I wrote my PhD in that topic, I published the most relevant academic paper in the history of the art market on data in the art world. So it's called Reputation and Success in the Art World. You can read it up on Science or on my website, magnusresch.com. It was published in Science in 2018 and was voted Paper of the Year in 2018. So the book is really based on a very thorough analytical approach. Now, coming to your question, why is art not a good investment? Simply because most art never makes it into the secondary market. There's the primary market, the gallery market, artworks shown for the first time, primary. And then there's the secondary market. If an artwork, an artist is really hot and in demand, they make it into the secondary market, second meaning artwork sold for the second time. Only a handful of artists ever make it into the secondary market. 20 artists, think about this, 20 artists make up 50% of the value of the secondary market. And those 20 artists, you know them all. Damien Hirst, Jeff Koons, Picasso, Monet. Those ones, if I ask you, tell me 20 artists' names, exactly those names that come to your mind, they are the ones, the blue chips, that are making up all the transactions in the secondary market and all the value. And everyone else is not. So yes, if you buy a unique Andy Warhol or Basquiat, yes, if you get it at a decent price, that is most likely a good investment. But we're not talking here about a $10,000 investment. We're talking here about $1 million and plus. Yes, if you buy that, and if you're lucky and if the value goes up and you bought the right Warhol at the right time and the right price, yes, it will go up. Congratulations, that's a good investment. However, the 99% of all the other works that you're seeing today are not. So if you focus on a few artists at the very top, yes, those will go up in value, but everyone else isn't.
Yeah, yeah. And also readers can see in your book what to invest in. And as you talking about and mention, like it's some important data like art markets index, like before and after comparisons and also like record deals, right? And it's important to always do follow. And also, you are talking about some use cases on that, which is important. And you are talking about like it's really valuable for all its arts investors, like art investment strategy for every budget, and which is important. And you are just sharing your insights, sharing the other art gallery owners' insights, and it's important.
Yeah, exactly. So yep. What is really important is, so I mentioned before that there are 20 artists that are most likely a very good investment. Yes, the challenge is to get access to these works, the really good works of Andy Warhol, Basquiat, Picasso, and so on. Now, there are an additional set of, let's say, 500 artists who are also a good investment. That's the expanded circle. Now, these artists, in my book, I explain how to identify them. So whenever you see an artist, I run you through the exact steps that you need in order to verify, is that a good investment or not? So I'm answering questions in the book like, is that price fair? So you see an artist and then you can immediately understand if you're overpaying or not. And I tell you, if the gallery that you're buying from, is that a gallery that you should buy from? Is that a gallery where is that position in the overall landscape? Because galleries are so important for the career of an artist. Galleries are making artists, and depending on which gallery you buy from, also depends on how much you should be paying for the piece of art. So there are 20,000 galleries, there are 40,000 art institutions, and there are millions of artists. I'm helping you to navigate through this jungle so you are equipped with the right tools to understand, all right, this is an artist from this type of gallery, and I should be paying this price, and this is what I can expect as the future value. And you get all of this if you buy my book, How to Collect Art. I think that's a very good sales pitch.
Exactly. Very sales pitch. And like, it's kind of like art elevating. I like that. And yeah, I have to ask for lastly, Magnus, and you know, is artificial intelligence is going crazy. And how do you think like it all will affect to art investment sites and art era?
So,
opinion.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. The truth is, AI is not a threat to the art world. Why is that? Because when it comes to art, what makes an artist great is the personality of the artist. It's the network that the artist is in, meaning the galleries that are showing the artist. And obviously the subject itself, the authenticity of the artist, the message that she is trying to convey. AI cannot replace that. Only because AI can create a piece that looks like a Picasso or that looks like a Warhol or whoever does not make it a great artist. Because it requires, as I said before, so many more things. An artist needs to get into the right network of galleries in order to make it to the top. So an AI artist, and that only goes through personal interaction with the artist. The art world is still a very human-based interaction, connectivity, gameplay, and AI cannot do that.
Yeah.
So artists always ask me, Magnus, should I be worried about AI? Nobody needs my art anymore. And I always tell them the same thing. No. You are still needed in the future. You are you as a personality, because no AI can represent who you are, and no AI can manage to get into the galleries. No AI can sit at a dinner table and talk about art. No AI can randomly bump into a gallerist in the subway, and the gallerist will come and do a studio visit and feel that personal connection and authenticity that you have. Yep. No AI can do that. And that's why AI is not a threat to the art world. However, I believe for more, let's say for, you know, let's say you're a doctor and you need to build a new website. In order to find images for the website, you hire a photographer to take photos of, you know, someone sitting at a desk or someone sitting in a chair and waiting for the next patient and so on. You know, basically stock images. I think that's going to be very challenged. Because in the future with AI, you just type in patient sitting in the waiting room, patient sitting on the chair, secretary sitting at the desk. And then it creates these images, so it doesn't require a photographer anymore who takes these stock images. Yes, I see that as a threat.
Yeah, exactly. We need still humanity and human touch and for every field. And even like it's if you are working on its software, it's and the, in this art, era, it's crucial, the human touch. I agree with you. Thank you very much for taking the time for this show, Magnus. It was really a privilege to host you.
Thank you. Before you let me go, I want to add one more thing.
Yes, so sweet.
For all the listeners who are right now listening to this wonderful podcast, I encourage you to buy art. I really do. Art is not expensive. You find great art for $500. And trust me, that will be your starting point. Start buying something for $500, $600, $700, and then you will follow the artist that you buy from. You will follow the gallery, because with your purchase, you're supporting an artist, you're supporting a gallery, you're supporting a whole community of people who are deeply passionate about what they're doing. And once you start engaging on that journey, you will see that the next piece, you will have a total different relation to it, because you feel more knowledgeable about it. And then you start buying the next one and so on. And it will be a beautiful journey because it will enrich you on a very personal level, on an emotional level. It will help you to decorate your home and fill the white space above the sofa. It will help you if you're dating to impress your future partner because you're knowledgeable. It will always give you talking points about something that you're passionate about. It will help you to connect to a whole new audience and you will meet great people. The art world, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like that, is very open and people actually like to talk about their art, what they collect. Artists like to talk about what they're creating and galleries are very kind, loving people and they're super passionate about what they're doing. So I encourage all of you to engage in that journey. And before you buy your first piece, become knowledgeable, understand how the market really works, and take a look at my book. It takes you a couple of hours and you'll be so knowledgeable, more knowledgeable than a lot of people who go to art fairs and just don't know what is really going on. And that's why I wrote this book. I wrote it for people who are interested in art, who love art, but are hesitant to engage on that journey. And I'm taking away all that fear. And if I fail to do this, reach out to me, send me a message on Instagram at Magnus Resch, and I will talk to you directly. Yeah. But I believe, based on all my conversations, that people find this book so helpful on engaging in this journey. So thank you very much. Please do reach out, follow me on Instagram, write me a message, and I'm always happy to get back to you. Thank you.
It's amazing. It's amazing. If you want to invest in art, read Magnus' book, How to Collect Art. Also, please check his other books, which is really valuable. He's sharing all insights, data, and strategy with a really modern way in this digital age. And yeah, we will see each other to next time on Meta Cafe Podcast. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.